are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And ladies and gentlemen, that was gross. The Timberwolves fell to the Memphis Grizzlies, of course, on Wednesday night by 16 points, despite Karl-Anthony Towns making his return to the court from a two-game suspension. The Wolves, the Grizzlies coming into the game were 1-5 on the season with the league's worst point differential. Timberwolves were 4-2 with a barely positive point differential, but getting Towns back should have been enough for the Wolves to get this win. To be fair, the Wolves were shorthanded, missing Jeff Teague, who was not at the game at all due to an illness, didn't even travel with the team from the Twin Cities, and backup point guard Shabazz Napier strained his hamstring late in Monday's loss to Milwaukee and did not dress. He was questionable headed into the night, was on the bench before the game, or I should say worked out before the game to test out his hamstring, and did not dress but sat on the bench with the team. That meant that two-way player Jordan McLaughlin was called up and was the only available point guard on the roster. Jarrett Culver started at point guard, which was an interesting wrinkle, and ran the offense for much of the game, was quite good, and we'll get into that here in a moment, but missing both Teague and Napier was tough, to say the least, and certainly put the Wolves behind the eight ball a little bit to start the game. It was an all-around disappointing performance nonetheless from the Timberwolves. Today we're going to talk about the biggest on-court problems for the Wolves in this game, as well as the one thing I had an issue with in terms of Ryan Saunders' coaching in this particular game, but also one thing that I think I've seen around the Twitter sphere that people, you look at this game, the Wolves gave up 137 points. I thought the defense wasn't actually all that bad in this game. So we'll talk a little bit about that and why that's my take on the Timberwolves' defense in this particular game. First, we're going to dive in and start talking about the game in general. Don't want to rehash this exactly minute by minute, but overall, the game got off to a pretty good start for the Wolves. They led by a few possessions early. Towns hit a three on the Wolves' second possession. It looked like they were going to be locked in and perhaps even have a really easy night against a team that, quite frankly, isn't very good. But Memphis got hot and the Wolves got lazy pretty early in this game. Minnesota fell behind by 16. And still was able to pull back ahead by a point late in the second quarter before there was another push by Memphis. And really all it took, this was the sort of thing where you expected the Timberwolves to, to take a small lead and then eventually let it have it balloon as the Grizzlies would hopefully just kind of roll over. But the Timberwolves tied the game. Memphis scored a bucket, went ahead by a couple. The Wolves hit a three, went up by one. And then all it took was a couple open threes for Memphis, just a couple of small defensive lapses by the Timberwolves, and the Grizzlies were off and running. And ultimately, the Wolves were down by 8 at halftime. Memphis actually had pulled or pushed the lead back to double digits late in the second quarter, but the Wolves were down 8 at halftime. And then Memphis, the Timberwolves broadcast on Fox Sports North, was talking about how Memphis has struggled mightily in the third quarter of the season. It was their worst quarter. They hadn't actually led at, I think they led at halftime in one of their games so far. They led at halftime in four of their games, but only had won one game. And third quarter had been just terrible for them, almost reminiscent of the Wolves from a few years ago, mostly the Tom Thibodeau Wolves. But it started out that way. The Timberwolves actually took a brief lead again in the third quarter, and before Memphis pushed back and ultimately built their lead back up to 5 at the start of the fourth quarter. But still, headed into the fourth quarter, down 5 on the road at Memphis, you'd like to think that you have a really good shot at winning. Sure enough, the Timberwolves hung around at the start of the fourth quarter, down 7. Josh Okogie came into the game, hit what was really kind of an ill-advised 3 from the top of the key, but drained it. His only 3-point attempt of the game. And then scored in the paint to get the Wolves to within 2 points with 8 minutes and 50 seconds left. And that was kind of the point where at least I relaxed a little bit and thought, I think they're going to figure this one out. But after a timeout by Memphis, the Wolves did not come back with enough of their starters on the floor. And this was kind of the more talked about rotation issue from Ryan Saunders in this game. But this isn't actually, we'll talk about my other issue here later on with what happened rotation wise, but The Wolves stuck with largely a bench unit, and the biggest issue is Jordan McLaughlin, and who wasn't bad, you know, all things considered. He played like you'd expect a third string point guard to play. He was fine. He missed too many shots. At times he was a little too aggressive. He wasn't very good on defense. But too much Jordan McLaughlin and too long without Karl-Anthony Towns and Robert Covington on the floor. When they came back, you know, down two would have been the perfect time to bring them back and make a push and build a lead. But Saunders waited a little, you know, a few minutes longer. And by the time those guys returned, the lead had built itself back up just a little bit. And then suddenly Memphis was off and running. There was the weird flagrant call against Karl-Anthony Towns as things were getting out of hand with about 3 minutes left or a little bit under that, when Towns contested a shot by Dylan Brooks and apparently his foot slid a little too far underneath him. And not only was called for foul, but a flagrant foul for the Zaza Pachulia rule of, you know, Zaza would intentionally try and sprain guys' ankles. Clearly that's not what Towns was doing, and I didn't agree with the flagrant call. There'd been a call on Willie Cauley-Stein of the Lakers earlier in the night. We retweeted some video of that, that play was different. James Harden was jumping straight up. Cauley-Stein slid underneath him. Towns didn't really go forward at all, whereas Dylan Brooks jumped forward. Towns was legitimately contesting the shot, and his foot just happened to kind of be a little too close. So all that to say, didn't agree with the flagrant call. At that point, things were pretty much out of hand, but things had really snowballed. The Wolves were not getting good shots on offense and were missing the three-pointers that they did take, missed a couple shots at the rim, and the Grizzlies were essentially just hitting everything they threw up, which was just insane. And they were just very fortunate on this night in terms of their shooting percentages for a team that generally isn't all that good of a shooting team at all. Came into the game as the worst three-point shooting team in the entire league. So here in a moment, we're going to talk through some of the individual performances, some of the, I guess you could say, studs and duds of the game for the Timberwolves. And then I'm going to cover my my bone to pick with Ryan Saunders and his rotation, which is the first time I've really taken issue with how he's rotated his players in this young season. But first, I did want to talk briefly about my bookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay when you're betting at mybookie.ag. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week in basketball, football, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. Either way, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. NCAA is back in action. It's time to turn your attention from carving pumpkins to the Spartans carving up defenses. Cassius Winston returns for his senior year, trying to prove that he has what it takes to bring a championship to Michigan State. Use your basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. The Memphis Grizzlies came into this game as the league's worst three-point shooting team, and the Timberwolves were pretty middle of the pack, and actually not that bad of a defensive team overall. The Grizzlies, Jaren Jackson was questionable. He actually didn't play on Monday night, and headed into tonight, I guess they had upgraded him to probable, but and he ultimately only played 15 minutes, but still, the Memphis Grizzlies front line of Jonas Valanciunas, Jaren Jackson, and then Brandon Clark off the bench was big enough, plus, you know, plus a few of those wing players that are a little bit bigger, like Solomon Hill, Kyle Anderson, Jay Crowder. The Timberwolves really struggled with the front line in terms of the physicality and the rebounding ability of the Grizzlies. And well, that was actually the biggest issue. The Grizzlies shot the ball out of their minds. They shot almost 57% from the floor and 52% from beyond the arc, and also attempted 30 free throws in the game, making 83% of them. The Timberwolves ended up attempting 26 free throws, so they were in the same neighborhood. They only made 73%, so that was an issue. But also the officiating, especially early in the game, I think the spotlight was on the end of the game with the flagrant on Towns and some of those issues. But early in the game, the officiating was, I would say, shoddy. The Wolves were simply not getting calls and getting to the free throw line. And credit to the Grizzlies for being aggressive, but the free throw disparity at one point was like 20-8. And that was a big factor in the Grizzlies building their early lead in this one. In terms of individual performances, Towns still only played 34 minutes in this game. So overall, good job by Ryan Saunders limiting his minutes, but realistically, that number should have been a little bit higher. As I mentioned in the first segment, he should have reentered the game earlier in the fourth quarter. Towns was clearly a little bit rusty. He shot just 3 of 11 from beyond the arc, 8 of 19 overall from the floor. He didn't get all that many post touches in this game, compared to what had been happening just prior to his suspension. He was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, but didn't attempt any free throws in the first, in the first quarter. It was late in the second quarter before he got to the charity stripe. Finished at 25 points, 13 rebounds, only 2 assists, 2 blocks in this game, 3 turnovers in his 34 minutes. Andrew Wiggins was probably the best player on the court for the Wolves in this game, which we don't say very often. He had 30 points and actually had 6 assists in this game. 11 of 21 from the floor, you know, is fine. And 3 of 8 from beyond the arc, I think we'll take that from Andrew Wiggins. He did have 3 trips to the line that he split, making one and missing one, and ultimately was 5 for 8 from the free throw line. But the 30 points and 6 assists, he also had 2 rebounds, 2 steals, and a block, was really good from Andrew. He was challenged with initiating the offense a little bit more than normal with no Jeff Teague and no Shabazz Napier. Well, technically, Jarrett Culver ran the point for the first part of the game. Wiggins was also handling and initiating offense quite a bit and was solid. He only had 3 turnovers. He didn't force too many shots. There weren't very many mid-range jumpers at all. He was pretty much attempting shots at the rim or shooting threes. And if Wiggins plays like this, shoots roughly 50% from the field, makes 3 threes, has, you know, 25 to 30 points a night and 5 or 6 assists, I mean, that's the Andrew Wiggins that could potentially be the second best player on a playoff team. And we don't see that enough. For the most part this season, he's been the silver lining for the Wolves. I guess they're 4-3, so it's not like we have to find a silver lining, but outside of Towns' dominance in the first couple games of the season, first 3 games of the season, Wiggins has been really impressive. The 2 rebounds isn't great, but he was spending a little more time on the perimeter in this game, so I'm not going to nitpick all that much. And that leads me to Jarrett Culver, who is the Wolves' second best player on the floor in this game. He was he scored 15 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds in 30 minutes. So actually more assists, more rebounds, and 0 turnovers, which is perhaps the most impressive thing in 30 minutes than compared to Wiggins. He was 5 of 13 from the floor, so still shooting is a little bit of an issue. He missed a shot or two near the rim that he should have made. He was only 3 of 6 from the free throw line as well. 2 of 5 from beyond the arc. And he was the only, and I've said this before on this podcast, this is, I don't love single game plus minus, but the Wolves only had 3 guys that had positive plus minuses in this game. And Wiggins and Towns were not in that category. Robert Covington was a +5 in just 26 minutes. Culver was a +4. And then Noah Vonleh off the bench was a +2. And we'll get more into Vonleh here in our last segment. But the Wolves really relied on Culver and Wiggins in this game. Josh Okogie started for the first time this year and only played 20 minutes because he got into early foul trouble, got called for a foul early in the third quarter and headed back to the bench. And he shot 3 of 4 from the floor, had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, but was a team worst minus 21 and overall struggled in this game more than I think we're used to, even on the defensive end of the floor. Travion Graham, on the other hand, came off the bench for the first time this season after starting the Wolves' first 5 games and missed his first 5 shots and looked horrible doing it. Missed a three, you know, took a couple of shots at the rim that, you know, he essentially just took over the offensive possession or went in transition and tried to score, and it was seemed to be a little too aggressive. But from that point on, after starting 0-4 from the floor, he was 4-5 the rest of the way. Finished 4-9 from the field, made 2 of his 3 3-point attempts, had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. So good play from Travion Graham. He is, as we've seen, a very good defensive player and a little streaky on offense, but contributes in multiple categories and does some of the things that guys like Wiggins don't do consistently. There wasn't really much else in the way of individual performances that stood out, good or bad. Robert Covington was fine. He was 3 of 8 from beyond the arc, had 15 points. Jordan McLaughlin was 2 of 7 from the floor, was a -9 in the plus-minus column, had 5 points, 2 assists, no turnovers, which is good in 22 minutes. But I think even being the only point guard on the roster, the 22 minutes is more than I was expecting to see out of Jordan McLaughlin. He made his first three-pointer, which is kind of a heave at the end of the shot clock early in the game, but then was 0 of 3 after that point from beyond the arc and was a little too trigger-happy, maybe trying to prove that he belonged on this level. But, you know, he was fine. He shouldn't have been on the floor in a game the Wolves were down by in the fourth quarter and they should have been leading. Gorgui Dieng played 3 minutes early in the game and had a good stint, but didn't get back on the floor in the second half. And Jake Lehman was fine. 9 points on 7 shots, 1 of 3 from beyond the arc. 3 steals was nice, but like to see a little more consistency out of Lehman, and especially beyond the arc is a place where he needs to pick it up just a little bit. All right, next we're going to talk about the one thing outside of the McLaughlin in the fourth quarter situation that I had a bit of an issue with Ryan Saunders. But first, from our friends at Indochino, a reminder that Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter Locked On at checkout. That's $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when you enter Locked On at checkout. Okay, the final bone to pick that I have with Saunders from this game, and perhaps that's maybe a little bit too strong of a way to put it, that's not related to the Jordan McLaughlin in the fourth quarter situation or even the starting lineup. I think, you know, starting Jarrett Culver at point made a ton of sense. But I think the Timberwolves were struggling enough on the glass in this game. They ultimately were out-rebounded by 13 points. Jonas Valanciunas had a really good game. Brandon Clark was a problem off the bench. His athleticism at the rim, had a couple of dunks, a couple of alley-oops, and grabbed 8 rebounds in only 22 minutes. He was 7 of 7 from the floor, finished with 18 and 8, and a plus 30 in this game. So he was really the biggest issue. Jaren Jackson wasn't very good, but was a factor in his 15 minutes because of his body and the paint and his rebounding ability. But Valanciunas had 14 rebounds and the rest of the team essentially all rebounded, had 3 or more rebounds for the Grizzlies. Whereas the Wolves just simply didn't rebound as a team. They only had, they had 2 starters that had 2 rebounds or less in Wiggins and Covington. And Covington was the power forward in this game. Once again, and outside of Towns' 13 rebounds, Graham had 6 off the bench and there wasn't anybody else that was rebounding as a team. So the Saunders did, and I believe this is the first time this season, I haven't had a chance to really dig in and see if it's true, but I think it's the first time that Noah Vonleh and Karl Anthony Towns shared the court at the same time, but it was only for a couple of minutes in the second half. My opinion is Ryan Saunders should have rolled with that lineup a little bit longer and gone to it earlier, gone to it in the first half when the Wolves were struggling on the glass early, because that was part of the way that the Grizzlies built their lead. I believe Saunders should have had Vonleh play the 4, slid Covington down to the 3, and taken either Okogie or Graham or Lehman, one of those 3, off the floor so that they were playing with Culver at the point, Wiggins at the 2, Covington at the 3, and Vonleh at the 4. And I'm not advocating for that being necessarily even the starting lineup, but when things weren't working early, that should have been the shift that happened. And then given Gorgui Dieng the backup minutes at the 5 instead of Vonleh. This wasn't a game where Vonleh could hold his own on the glass as the lone big man on the floor. He's a good rebounder. He is not a great rebounder. And really neither is Gorgui Dieng, but he's a little bit of a bigger body and has a little bit more of a presence. And perhaps that means that even Vonleh and Gorgui shared the floor together at times if Gorgui was getting the backup minutes at the 5. I just think this is a game where the Wolves should have had 2 big men in the game at the same time, and they only did for a couple of minutes. Playing Vonleh was good. He has been good all season. He was a positive plus minus. He had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists in just 16 minutes. The 4 assists is an impressive number. 4 rebounds is okay, but as the lone big man on the floor, Vonleh tends to get pushed around a little bit too much on the glass. And having him play with Gorgui Dieng or with Karl-Anthony Towns would have given the Wolves 2 of those big bodies, improved their rebounding, and not necessarily on a night where the Wolves weren't shooting the ball well anyways, which has been most nights, quite frankly, it would not have detracted from their offense much. Having Vonleh and Gorgie on the court at the same time might have been a little bit difficult from an offensive perspective, but it's not like the Wolves did anything with Towns on the bench anyways. Wiggins was good on offense in this game, but there were moments where he was the only true offensive weapon on the floor for the Wolves that they didn't go to him consistently, and that was an issue. So they may as well have played Vonleh and Towns together for longer stretches, played Gorgie off the bench at the five, given him more than 3 minutes. And I think that would have improved the rebounding effort. They had 36 rebounds to the Grizzlies, 49. So that was my biggest issue with the rotation. And it's something that I think the Wolves will need to consider doing against some of the bigger teams. Now, Jordan Bell was on the broadcast, on the Fox Sports North broadcast, we were told that Bell was available. The box score officially lists him as a DNP, sprained right shoulder. But especially if he had been available, the Wolves would have had the depth to be able to rotate through four big men and combat a bigger team, a more athletic team, a better rebounding team. Otherwise, the Wolves are going to have some rough nights against the teams that do pound the glass better than the Wolves do, which is going to be quite a few. And especially if they're only going to shoot 35% from beyond the arc, that's something the Wolves need to consider doing. I do, however, want to defend the Timberwolves defense, which is maybe a losing battle given that they gave up 137 points in a regulation game with no overtime. But the Grizzlies were playing out of their minds on offense. The Wolves defense is essentially designed to force teams into shooting mid-range jumpers, which isn't necessarily a novel concept in today's NBA, but they did a pretty good job of that. The Grizzlies actually only attempted 23 threes on the game, which was almost half as many as the Timberwolves, but they made 52% of them. And there were a couple open threes in there, certainly, but Dylan Brooks made a ton of difficult threes. He was 5 of 7 from beyond the arc. Jay Crowder was 4 of 6 from beyond the arc. And there were just several shots that didn't feel like they should be going in, and they shot the ball extremely well from the mid-range. The shots that the Wolves were forcing them into weren't bad shots to give up from a defensive perspective, but the Grizzlies simply weren't missing. And so this is the sort of game where the Grizzlies played right into the game plan and got lucky, played well, but their track record suggests that they aren't actually that good of a shooting team. From the floor. So this is something where Ryan Saunders and defensive coordinator David Vanderpool need to look at this tape and show the team and say, hey, look, guys, there's a few of these plays. I mentioned early in the game there were some open threes that kind of got the Grizzlies off and running. And the transition defense, especially in the first half, was awful. There were a couple of blowbys where Andrew Wiggins just kind of like, it was like he was in quicksand and somebody just ran past him. There was one play where Tyus Jones did that and scored in the open floor. John Morant did it a couple of times, and not just to Wiggins, but there was the one play that was replayed over and over on the Fox Sports North broadcast because Wiggins just didn't slow down the ball in transition. Outside of that stretch of transition defense and some open three-pointers early, the Wolves' defense wasn't awful, and they need to look at this tape and tell the team, hey, look, our scheme works. This team that was 1-5 coming in just had their best game of the season. And outside of those transition defense issues, we would have been just fine on that end of the floor. So something to keep an eye on. And also, again, the rotations against some of these bigger teams. And it's not that many in the league anymore that play two bigs at the same time or play guys that are as prolific on the glass as Brandon Clark and Valanciunas. But something to keep an eye on moving forward, to be sure. Next up, the Wolves on Friday night will be hosting the Steph Curry and Draymond Green-less Golden State Warriors. So definitely a winnable game, although we said that about Wednesday's game, hoping that Target Center is jumping for the first Friday night game of the season and first like true weekend game of the season. So it would be important to pick up that win before hosting Denver for a matinee on Sunday afternoon. But that's all we have for you today. We'll be back previewing Friday's game and with any additional Wolves notes on Friday morning. Once again, thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. And once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.